And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought forth him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of the people of Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, for it is for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of the great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was the widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming into the instant, in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days and as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thus with us. Behold, thy father and I have sought you sorrowing. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Wow, there's some good stuff here. Back to the first verse. It came to pass in that day, he was talking about Luke chapter 1, how it ended up there, okay? there went out a decree from Caesar, and Caesar is a title for people, okay? It's not his name, it was a title he carried. It literally means severed. Augustus is a name, just like a title, just like Caesar. Caesar, Augustus, both of them are titles. And it's something commanding respect. And from him, this decree went out that the whole world, right? The whole inhabited earth, that was in the area that they lived in, should be what? Literally, when it says taxed, they should be added to a list of people's names, you know, like a tax roll, or, you know, like you got at the courthouse or something, or registered to, like, you know, for that. So they could find out how many people they got and who's paying and who's not paying. Like, census, another good word for it. And this taxing, or this list of people made up, this, what we call it? We just said the word. The census, or something else we said? Registering of everybody. Was first made when Cyrenius, and that's the warrior. See? Nothing good about that. The warrior's doing that one. Remember when David, you remember what he did? He numbered the people when God told him not to, and what happened? 75,000 people died because of it, of what David did. He went against God. When he was governor or ruler of what? Syria. Okay? Syria is duality, it's exalted, it's pride. Okay? So as long as the warrior is ruling in the land of pride, guess where that's at? Right up on top of you, right here. There's going to be a taxation and know all the lists and rules and regulations. And all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. And Joseph, which means let him add, that's God, let God add, also went up from Galilee, right? And what is Galilee? The heathen circle. Out of the city of Nazareth, which means the guarded one. Okay? So he went from the place where he was guarded at into Judea, unto the city of David, right? Which is called what? The house of bread, okay? So guess where you're going to find the bread? Bethlehem, rather. Bethlehem, the house of bread. And where is that? It's the city of David, which is Bethlehem, okay? Because he was of the house and lineage of who? So Joseph actually was the same bloodline coming out for Christ, wasn't he? To be taxed with Mary, that's not really her name, you know that, don't you? Miriam was her real name, not Mary. And her name means rebellion. Their rebellion. So she went to be taxed with the rest of the rebels. How's that? That make sense? No, how many people like to be taxed? See, so he knew what was going on. With his espoused wife, being great with child. She was pregnant, right? And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Here's where the good stuff starts coming in. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room or place for them in the inn. Now we got to back up and look at this. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. This is not just some rags that they picked up to wrap around the baby because they didn't have anything else. They were so poor. They were coming in paying their taxes. They had money in their pockets. Okay? And I guarantee you they had more than they needed to pay the taxes because they were traveling. Okay? But what this is, swaddling clothes, you've probably heard all kinds of things preached about swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes is literally strips of material that was cut and designed for one purpose, to wrap the baby. They were made for that. It wasn't just some rags they picked up and wrapped them in, like I've heard it preached. Okay. But these things are done for a specific reason. Two reasons why they're wrapped in swaddling clothes. And there's a spiritual connotation to it as well as a natural connotation. So as soon as that child was born, immediately she wrapped it with these strips of cloth. The first reason is to restrict movement. They carried their babies, and at that time when women had babies, they was working an hour later or 2 hours later. They were up back to work doing their same thing. And in this culture, the women done most of the work. Okay? So they're doing a lot of hard labor, and they're carrying this child. What would happen to this child being carried around if it was not wrapped and kept restrained? Neck. I mean, she's carrying it, you know, jostled around, injure arms and legs and stuff like that. So the first reason is to restrict it, okay? And these swaddling clothes, if you take it to the spiritual side, as soon as he was born, she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And you know what she did? She put him in flesh. This is the parable. God, as soon as we were born, where'd we go? In flesh. See? Right there. And as soon as she got him wrapped up in this, the second reason yet is for something else. The second reason they wrap with swaddling clothes is to promote proper growth of limbs. See? They ain't all deformed because it's all carried crazy inside of a pouch or something on her. But the arms are wrapped in a certain way so they would grow, and legs so they would be proper and straight. See? So there's a reason. Why are we in this body of flesh? To make us straight and get us right back lined up with God again. This is just something to restrict us and to make us grow. That's all it is. Isn't that amazing? God's got a beautiful story in everything.
Strap or wrap?
It's just strips
strap,
of clothes.
Yeah, the definition, strap or wrap.
Right. To wrap them around, to hold them and bind them in place.
Hold them in place.
Yep. And that's what God wants us to do. Okay, now as soon as she did this, what is she saying about her child? What did Mary say about her child immediately when Zacharias is born? She began to wrap him. She was showing she was a good mother. She immediately began her focus upon that child and getting him set in the right order. Right? Same thing with us. When our woman gives birth to the son, she automatically give the same kind of attention to getting this son set straight and get him set upright. Okay? Now she got him wrapped. What'd she do with him? She put him in a manger. What is a manger? It's a feeding trough. Now, what's it made out of? See? As soon as she got him prepared, she put him into the wood. Wooden manger. What does wood represent? Guess where he's at. Now, there's one more thing about this eating trough. What eats out of that trough? It's a feeding trough for the beast. Are we not brute beasts, the book says? See? So he put us in this place to feed with the beast, the dust realm. Serpent's food is what? The dust of the earth. I think that's fantastic. See? He just telling us, I mean, I already knew that, but he just showing me in another way. Do you understand? He just showing me in another way that all the preparation right there in that verse 7. And he said the reason did, there was no room for them in the inn. Well, what would the inn represent? The world, the worldly way of doing things. See? And God's got another way, isn't it? God's way is always going to be different from what the worldly way is. Yes, he did. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks at night. A lot of ignorance there, wasn't there? At night. And lo, the angel or the messenger of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord illuminated them, and they were greatly alarmed, it says. See? He illuminated them. You know what? When God speaks to you, starts illuminating you, the first thing you do, you're going to be alarmed. I mean, everybody does it. I mean, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know if I asked for all this or not. I just asked for an answer of a question. You know, and then God starts lighting things up, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute, I don't know if I asked for all this or not. But see, God isn't just a little tiny spark, is he? He's a consuming fire. And once you open God up, you ain't going to turn him off. I'm going to tell you that right now. You can't turn him off. He's going to consume you. Whether you like it or not, he's going to do it anyway. It's a whole lot better to just get up front with him. Okay? And the angel said to them, not fear not. Literally said, don't be alarmed. Because behold, I bring good news. That's what the language says. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to a few people who slobber on a board and snot on it. Is that what it says? No. No. That's what the church says. See? Now God says, by his messenger, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. And it didn't say no conditions, did it? Well, then why do we add to it? Why does the church have to add to it? Why can't God just say what he means and mean what he says and that be the end of it? Well, he did, and he does. Right? And they can add all they want to, but it don't mean nothing. It's only confusing themselves. Okay? Look at verse 11. Because to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The word Savior literally deliverer, which is deliverer. And this shall be a sign unto you that you shall find the babe, right? Wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You're going to find him right in the midst of humanity, right with the beast. And is that amazing? Because you know where Christ is right now? He's laying in a lot of mangers with a lot of beasts feeding all around him. Do you realize that? And he's the one feeding us. We're supposed to be partaking of him, aren't we? And he's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. So that covered them, didn't it? Okay. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, or in the heavens. The highest isn't what it says. It should be glory to God in the heavens. And on earth, peace. Well, see, the church changes this. And on earth, hell. Because that's what the church has given everybody. They're giving you pure hell, aren't they? Why are they changing these words? It's peace. And he says, goodwill toward what? Literally the word goodwill should be kindness in humanity. The word is anthropos. It said, peace on earth and kindness not toward, it's the word en, so it's in. So kindness in humanity. What should be in humanity? Well, how come it's hell? How come by everybody's acting like devils instead of acting like kindness, like Christ?
They haven't heard the good news.
They haven't heard the good news. They're eating with the beasts. Okay? And it came to pass as the angels were gone away, or departing from them into the spirit realm, the heavens, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now, or literally, I can't even read my writing. Let us go even unto Bethlehem, or to Bethlehem. And what is Bethlehem?
House of bread.
Okay, so let us go to the house of bread. Now, once you realize that this is going on, it's been placed within you, you've heard this messenger of God. Do you know how many people today is in church has never heard the messenger of God? Huh? Most people never hear the messenger of God. All they hear is men talking or women talking. They don't hear God talking. This is something on an individual basis you have to hear. And every one of you has heard God talk. There's only one thing. You haven't been able to identify it, maybe. Every one of you has heard God talk. You know why? Because I know God's a sanguine. He never stops talking. He never stops talking. So I know you've heard Him, but you haven't been able to identify it. That's the only difference. And you'd be surprised how many people ask me, says, well, I've never heard God. In fact, Amanda just asked me this past Sunday. She said, I've never heard God talk. I said, oh, yes, you have. Yeah, you have. I've heard you say things that came from God. See? You heard God. You just didn't know what He was doing. You didn't know who it was. And see, the book says, my sheep hear my voice. We've got to know what His voice is. How am I going to know it's God talking to me if I don't know His nature? See? The only way I'm going to know it's God talking to me is I am going to know His nature. If I hear something in my head says, why don't you just take your car and run it through your neighbor's house and tear it up? You think that was God? Now, how about your neighbor just done you wrong and just crapped all over you, and you hear something in your heart saying, why don't you go over and cut your neighbor's grass? He ain't feeling so good. Now, who was that? You think that was God? Sure. When you don't understand, there's no right, there's no justification in natural thinking to go do something good for somebody who just done you wrong. That's God. See, when we were yet sinners, He reconciled us, right? He died for us while we were yet sinners. See, there's the nature. If I don't know the nature of God, I'll never be able to identify the voice of God. I got to know His nature, right? Okay, I don't want to go a long ways on that. We could stay all night in that one. Okay. But we got to go back to the house of bread. There's the key, Bethlehem. We go back to the house of bread, we're going to figure this whole thing out, right? And see this thing, and that word thing, you know what it is? Rhema. Rhema. It's the word rhema. What's that mean?
Word.
Let's go see this word. Now, what was he identifying Jesus as? The Word of God. See? He didn't call him a thing. It's rhema. It's word. So they were identifying. Let's go see the word. Did you know you can see the word? Everybody thinks you can just hear it. Now, you can see it. They went to see him, didn't they? And you can see him today, too, you know, if you got eyes to see and ears to hear. You can see and hear it. Okay. It says, which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us, right? How many people, let me get a verse here, Corinthians. Oh, just popped in. Okay, there it is. It's a quote out of Isaiah that Paul used in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Anybody ever hear this verse? But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. That's incomplete. Because the next verse kind of does away with that, what it says. Paul is quoting this out of Isaiah. Now let me read you verse 10. But God has revealed to them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Paul's quoting from the Old Testament saying, look, under the law, you didn't know. But now we have an indwelling Spirit in us that has revealed all things unto us. So why should we be ignorant of anything? See? We're not realizing our source. Our source is internal, it's not external. Okay? Oh, it's good stuff. Good stuff. And they came with haste and found Mary. See, there's another thing too, haste. They didn't waste no time about going there. Okay? You go into the house of bread, the word, you ought to go with haste. And found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, come on, give me a break. They're talking about God and calling it. When they had seen him, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this. What? Did it say it there? Then why should it be it in the first part of the verse? Somebody hadn't got their thinking cap on, do they? Okay. And all they that heard it marveled concerning those things which were told them by the shepherds. Because the shepherds has come and tell them all kinds of things that's happening right in front of their face, but they were up on the hill miles away probably. And this could have been days before they got there. We don't know. It couldn't have been very soon, because traveling at night in a land like that in a mountainous country would have been tough, wouldn't it? So I bet they didn't travel very fast at night. Verse 19. But Mary preserved, the word kept her, should preserved all these, what? The word things is rhema again. She preserved all these words and pondered or considered them, where? In her heart, in her inside, the inner spirit. She took all these words in and she pondered them. She preserved them, she protected them, and she considered them and rolled them around and around, thought upon them, meditated on them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. What does eight mean? It was a time of a change, of a new beginning. Now, do you think the new beginning was for that baby? It was for all humanity. He was the last circumcision. He fulfilled the law. Circumcision is no longer necessary in the flesh. It's circumcision of the heart. Romans, what's he say? One who is a Jew is not one outwardly in the flesh, but one who is circumcised of the heart, done by God. That's what it's all about. And people still get hung up on it, and there's still people, the Jews, that believe that that's necessary, but that's still under the law. And the book says, if you're under the law, you're cursed. Anybody under the law is cursed. And the curse was reversed at the cross, so why is everybody running around looking like they're cursed or acting like they're cursed? It was reversed. Done away with. So why are we cursed today? Only because of what we think. Here's where we're bound up in our minds. Okay? And they called his name or his nature what? Jesus. What does it mean? Yahweh is salvation or deliverance. God is deliverance, or God's deliverance, which was also named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Why did the angel know the name? Not because God whispered it to him. See? Why did he know the nature of Jesus? He knew the nature of the Father. See? That messenger knew the nature of the Father, so automatically he knows the nature of the Son. See? And that's what we got to do, the same thing. If I know the nature of my Father, then what nature do I have to possess? Okay? Don't have no choice about that, do I? Like Father, like Son. I have to be just like my Father. I think he said that here, didn't he? Oh, bless God. Verse 22, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem, to the religious capital of the world, right? To present him to the Lord. That's still under the law. He hadn't died yet. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male, or every firstborn male, it should say, not just every male, but every firstborn male, that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Now, every male, do you know that every one of us have a male and female inside of us? Female soul, the woman. Male, Christ. Every male that opens the womb, are we talking about a physical womb from a woman? What are we talking about? The mind. Every male that opens up their mind, what's going to happen? Jeez. Hear how easy that was? If you open up spiritually, if this man in here opens up the womb of this woman, he's going to be called holy. My God. All you got to do is take care of your woman. See? If the men took care of their women, what would it be? Jesus gave us direction, Corinthians, or Paul did rather. He said, Jesus or the Christ is the head of every person, every man, or humanity. Everyone in humanity. Christ is the head. But it says that he loved his woman and died for her, didn't he? Covering for her. What should we do for our woman? Be willing to die for her, if it's necessary. And know that God will raise you back up again, right? So if we open our mind up, we're going to be called holy to the Lord. You want to be called holy before the Lord? You better open your mind up. You better do it. That's not a threat. Sure. Absolutely. And also said, so be called holy to the Lord. And what's it say in verse 24? Here's what they'll do. Once they got their mind open, here's what they'll do. They will offer, the word literally is give, they will give a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves or young pigeons. What are young pigeons? This language here says what we would call squab, the little baby pigeons still in the nest. Okay? So he said, that's what we'll do. Now, why did it say two? Well, there's another thing this two is for. Uh-huh. We're going to offer up what? We're going to offer the duality back to the Lord. Here, take it. See? Want to get rid of it. See? Why would I give two? It's a witness or it's what? Duality. I want to give it back to him. You know what he'll do with it? For this reason was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the accuser. Okay? And isn't duality that accuser? Okay. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, which means hearkening or hearing. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation or the comforter of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed, and the word revealed here is spoken, it was spoken to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's anointed. The Lord's anointed. The word Christ means anointed. Christos, anointed. And he came in the Spirit to the temple, into the temple. Now this temple is a literal temple, okay? But how are you going to get into the temple? By the Spirit. See, it's the only way you're going to get in. He went into a natural temple, set a pattern up. How are we going to get into that temple? We can't walk into a building. This isn't the temple. The temple is who you are. And this is how you're going to get in Spirit in here, is by the Spirit in here. Get rid of that duality. Get rid of them two turtle doves or them two little pigeons. Okay? And when the parents brought in the child, okay, to do for him according to the custom of the law, then took he him in his arms and blessed God and said, Now, Lord, now let thou thy servant or slave depart in peace according to thy word. Now, once I have seen the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord, he says, now let this servant pass in peace. What is that saying? Spiritually, what's it saying? I can die now. See, I'm ready to die now for my woman. Why? Because I've seen it. Was he blind? Doesn't say so.
I
heard it, yeah.
I had heard that he was blind, and he
Yeah. Well, it doesn't say anywhere that he was blind. Somebody added something to make it sound real good. But he did hear by spirit. See? He was in spirit because the book says so, but it doesn't say anything about him being blind, does it? There's nothing in here about him being blind. If he was blind, I'm very sure that it would have been there. It would have been noted that. Someone just added to it. Because I think all the details we need are here, and the other ones we need is the ones he wants to fill in by the Spirit. Okay? So this departing in peace is us coming to our crucifixion for our woman. Right? Verse 30, because my eyes have seen your, not salvation, but your deliverance, which you have prepared not before, but in the face of all people. What has he prepared? He's prepared deliverance where? In the mind. In the face, the mind of all people. Imagine that. How many people's going to get deliverance? God's prepared it, hasn't he? Well, do we see it yet? No. But you know what? It's coming. Oh, God. People ought to be kicking the walls out and screaming and hollering right now. God's going to do it for all people? We have to pray their ears get open, won't we? Okay. Man, I just can't even imagine how somebody can't read that and see that. And he's a light to lighten, or literally to reveal to the Gentiles, the glory of thy people Israel. That's what he is. See, this first fruit, that's what we're here for. To reveal the light to these people. Man, how can you condemn somebody in revealing the truth to them? Oh, gosh. They need help, don't they? Well, we're their help. Okay? God said he was going to bless them and send them a messenger. He didn't say they'd like the messenger, did he? Okay? And Joseph and his mother marveled concerning those things. Now, the word Joseph here, do you know what that word really is? It's not Joseph. It's pater. Aha. They added something in there. It's not there. Joseph's not there. It says father. And his father and his mother marveled concerning those things which were spoken concerning him. Imagine that. Okay? Huh? He was. He wasn't his natural. He raised him, though, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Now, back to this verse 32, there was something I didn't touch in here, and I need to go back and touch it. It says, a light to lighten or reveal to the Gentiles or the heathen or the pagans the glory of your people Israel. Okay? Now, what's Israel represent here? Well, let me read you another verse. Romans 9, verse 6. It says, not as though the word of God has taken none effect or has become inefficient, because they are not all of Israel which are from Israel. Did you get that? Everyone that comes out of Israel are not Israelites. They're not part of the heavenly Jerusalem, are they? They are a natural Jew, but a natural Jew has nothing to do with this. This is about spiritual things. You go to Deuteronomy 10:16, I'll paraphrase. Moses wrote and said, if you seek to please God, you must circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Does that sound like a natural circumcision or a spiritual one? Now that was written back in the Pentateuch under the law. It's also in Jeremiah 4:4, and it's in about three or four other places where under the law they said to circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Very clearly we know that's the spiritual Jew. That just tells me that God has not changed. He was looking for one thing then, the spiritual Jew. He's looking for one thing now, the spiritual Jew. He's waiting for that seed to come forth, not some natural Jew. Okay? Now we can go on. Verse 34. And Simeon blessed them. Now, first he's hearing, and he heard, and then he blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, "Behold this child. He is set for what? For a downfall and a raising up or a resurrection of many in Israel." You know what? All of Israel has to go down and be resurrected. And that's what he's saying. He said, this man is set, okay, not for just himself. This child is set for the downfall and the resurrection of all. You can't be resurrected if he wasn't resurrected, can you? He died, he was resurrected, and in that, it takes care of everybody else, doesn't it? Okay? So it wasn't just for one person. He died, so what? Tell me something. Huh? But who was it for? Who? Who? I'm going to say Dave. You can say it any way you want to. I'm going to say he did it for Dave. I know he did it for me. See, you got to know who he did it for. Who did he do it for? For yourself. You got to know that he did this for you. And of course, we know it was all, but you got to see it personally, don't you? It's an individual thing. You have to see this yourself, that he did it for you. And he says, for the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be really appreciated in all of Israel. Right? What was we talking about tonight? How everybody rejects this truth. He said, he's a sign that be spoken against. Literally the language says, it shall be refused. Isn't that what they're doing? It's so obvious. I mean, geez, if you read the book, it's so obvious. We're just fulfilling the pattern perfectly. Isn't it? That ought to give you such great comfort you can go sleep tonight. But worry about what's going on because you're in the right pattern. If you're in the right course, how could you worry about anything? If you realize where you're walking. I mean, you're in the forefront of the battle. The best place to be. Because you know where the general's eyes are? You know where the captain of the host is watching? He ain't watching the rear door. The Holy Ghost got that one. Look at him out there. Keeping his eyes right on you. That's where you want to be. Right in the front of everything. How can you be bold and be hiding in the back seat? That's something I never did figure out in churches. When I first started going to a church, I mean, I was there the first week. I drove them crazy. Couldn't help it because I had to ask questions. And that's the only way I figured you could find out an answer is ask a question. And I was going. And after about 45 minutes, I mean, I was really pressing because 45 minutes, they was already on the way home. And 45 minutes, I was still asking questions. And I kept interrupting. They couldn't even teach because I just kept asking questions. Well, I thought that's what it's about. They didn't have that point in their thinking. But I said, the last question, and they broke up. I said, one more question. I said, I ain't been here very long, so I don't know much, so I'm asking questions, so I'm hoping you can give me an answer that'll work, you know. And I said, this last one, I threw my hand up, and the pastor says, go ahead. I mean, you could tell he was just teetotally messed up because he never got to follow his pattern for the night. And I said, could you tell me something? And they said, what? And I said, I can't figure this out. They said, what? And I said, doesn't the Bible say something like we're supposed to lead people to Christ? Something like that, you know? And they said, well, yeah. I said, then how can we do that? He said, what do you mean? Everybody fights for the back seat. How are you going to lead anybody if you're behind them kicking them? Why don't they sit in the front? I said, the front 15, 20 rows of the church, no one ever sits there. Won't they just take them out and throw them away? No one ever uses them. I said, y'all afraid of what's going on up there or what? You know, there I go, causing trouble already. You know, I couldn't help it. You know, I wanted to know. But we're not going to be liked. Jesus told us, if they'll do this to the green tree, what will they do to the dry tree? Who's the green tree? It was Him, the life. What are they going to do to us? Same thing. They're going to say all manner of evil about you, right? Verse 35. Yea, right? And a sword shall pierce through your own soul also. Hello. You're going to get circumcised right there, ain't you? The sword's going through. Hebrews 4 and 12 says the word. How do I expect my heart to be changed if I don't let the sword of the Spirit open my heart up and reveal to me what's in my heart? I guarantee you ain't going to like what you see. That's the purpose. So you can see what's there and say, I don't like that. Well, how am I going to change it? Get some whitewash? Cover it up? No, put some more of this Word in it. And you know what it'll do? It'll clean you. Jesus said you're washed by the water of the Word. You're washed by the words that I've spoken unto you. There's how you get cleaned up. It's this. See, the carnal mind can't say, well, yeah, I know that's the Word of God, but I got a problem over here. Right there. That's what will take care of it. You get into this Word and it'll change you. I don't know how it changes you. It's by the Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by His Spirit that He does this thing. Don't ask nobody how, because no one can give you a how does He do it. He just does what He wants to do. If you stay in there, you'll get taken care of. Okay. And there was one Anna, or Hannah, her name means grace. There's this one full of grace, a prophetess. Boy, the people in the church don't like that. A woman that prophetess, that's the same as a prophet. They just put that test on there to prove that she was a woman. Didn't make her any less than the man that was a prophet. That's all religion. She was the daughter of Phanuel. Wonder who that is. It's the face of God. She's the daughter of the face of God. How about the daughter of the mind of, from the mind of God? She was birthed from where? The mind of the Father. Guess what? Do you think she's any less than a man? Oh boy. From the mind of God. And she was of the tribe of Asher. Asher means blessed. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. Whoa. What does that mean? She lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. It means from the time she lost her virginity, she lived with her husband 7 years. That's all. But what's that mean to me? What's seven? She got all she needed from that husband. Hear me? She got all she needed from that natural husband, didn't she? And look what happened. And she was a widow. That means her man died. And what does the Galatians 4 say? That when your, I think it's Galatians 4, said when your husband is dead, you're free to marry another one now. Guess what? Her husband died, and now she's just about ready to pick up her husband and bless him, that little baby. Isn't she? That's her husband. She's getting ready to have another wedding. And she was a widow of about how long? 84 years. This is the day, eighth day of new beginnings into the completeness of God. This is the final marriage. This is the real wedding feast coming up. This is it. She's going to see the whole thing. Which departed not from the temple. Did you hear that? Didn't go to church on Sundays and Thursdays and the rest of the time forget about it. See? She never departed out of the temple. We're not talking about church. We're talking about the temple of God which we dwell in. We never depart from that temple. That means our mind's on Him all the time. But served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now, do you know why she did that? She was under the law. You'll get that later, I hope. You ain't got it now. Under the law, She served God day and night with fastings and prayers. See, that's what was done under the law. Guess what? We're not under the law. So we don't have to be in prayer and fasting day and night. See? You don't have to be. There's people that's been here that's been upset about because we don't pray enough. Well, when you grow up, you don't have to pray when you realize that we have that light inside of us. I don't have to worry and talk to somebody up in the sky who dwells within me. I can just have a relationship. When I realize the marriage has been consummated, man, we got intimacy now. I can talk to my man anytime I want to. Why do I have to worry about getting a long-distance phone call through? Huh? I can talk to my husband anytime I want to. I'm married to him. Whew. Help us, Lord. Help us see it. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke to him of all them that looked for. She spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Was she talking to everybody? No, she's talking first fruit. And when they had performed all things according to the law, why? Because he was under the law. The Scripture says he was born of a woman made under the law. Okay. They returned to Galilee, the heathen circle, and to their own city of Nazareth, where they were guarded. And the child grew and waxed strong. So he grew in the flesh, but he waxed strong. Literally, that word waxed strong in spirit was empowered in the spirit. He was empowered in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was what? Was it in him, not upon him. It was in him. The grace of God was in him. Now, why do I say the grace of God was in him? Grace says this, the divine influence in your heart and a reflection of that into your lifestyle. So if grace is in your heart, somebody's got to see it. It's got to come from in here. See, it's not out of this. It's got to come from in here in your heart. Grace in your heart. God's divine influence in your heart. And that reflection out into your lifestyle. Okay? Got to be able to get it out where people can see it. There's no grace if it don't come out where people can see it. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year. Okay? Why did they go every year? It was a commandment under the law. They had to go every year at the feast of Passover, or as the law prescribed, right? And when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem according to the custom of the law of the feast. They did the same thing. Now, why was it 12 years old? Someone tell me why. Here you go. When you become a man, Paul said, when I become a man, I put away childish things. It's time to go the other way now. See, now I'm going to be a man. This is manhood. What they call it, bar mitzvah in the Jewish culture. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They didn't know about it, did they? But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. See? You're not supposed to seek God among your kinfolk and acquaintance. Where should you seek him? Right inside yourself. Now, they went back and found him not, and when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. Well, let me show you something. They traveled a day's journey. Look at me. Everybody look at me just a minute. He's in here. They're out here in Jerusalem. They traveled one day out into the wilderness, and they said, whoop, he ain't here in the desert. Ever heard that one? Now, well, we better go back and see where he's at. How many days we got now? Passover. Pentecost, one day out. Passover, one day out. Pentecost, one day back. Now look at the verse. And it came to pass after how many days? Oh, now what's that there for? After 3 days. What's 3 days? Tabernacles. Now, in tabernacles, there's where you're going to find him. You're not going to find him in the desert. Go not forth, the book says. You want to find him? You'll find him in tabernacles in the temple. No, you're not. You're the temple of the living God. Come on. We're looking in the wrong place, this external stuff. It's inside of us. I hope you're getting half excited as I am. I don't want to be no spitting preacher, but God, I can't help sometimes. And it came to pass that after, literally the word after is in the midst of 3 days, in the midst of the third day, they found him in the temple, right? And 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, know you not that you're the temple of God, you know, okay? Sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing and asking questions, and all that heard were astonished at his understanding and his replies or responses to them. The doctors were asking him questions and he was blowing their mind. Imagine that. 12 years old. I could say something, I'm not going to. I'm going to let that slide for a minute. Get back there some other time. Verse 48, and when they, who was they, saw him? Mom and Dad. When Mom and Dad saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why hast thou done, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Literally, why have you done this to us? See, because they thought they had the perfect little kid, and he didn't do what they told him to. And see, that's what religion wants you to do. The law wants you to do. And God says, I want you over here. Is it ever going to be what the law tells you to do, the church is trying to put you under? It'll never be what God wants because they have no view of what God is doing. The people under the law, the Israelites, do you really think they understood what God was saying? If they had, they couldn't have lived the life they lived. They had no clue what God was doing. It was just rules and regulations to them. There was no life in it. Huh? Same thing today. And he says, behold, your father and I have sought you in grief. Well, you know what the first 2 days were full of? The book says in this, woe unto them that dwell upon the earth. Pain, grief, and suffering to the inhabitants of the earth. Dust and sand, the Passover and Pentecost realm. Them first 2 days ain't got nothing but pain and grief. But when you come to the third day, guess what you find out? Let me read a verse to you. Behold, I bring to you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's what you hear in the third day. See? They already forgot and went back again. Jeez. And he said to them, how is it that you sought me? Like, why in the world are you seeking me? In them first 2 days. He says, the word wist means know. K-N-O-W. Know you not that I must what? It says, be about my Father's business. Well, you can mark that word business out because there's no business in there. Church life is not, God's life is not a business. But first of all, this word is not in the language. Here's what it literally says. Know ye not that I must exist in my Father? Hello? I can't exist anyplace else. There is no life anywhere else. I have to exist in Father in this realm of tabernacles. Live and move and breathe and have our being Him. No, it's not there. Go ahead and find it, but yeah, it's not where it is. I think it's the New Testament. I'm thinking. It's Paul's writing. Absolutely, it's Father's house. We've got to live in Father's house. There's no life anywhere else. I must exist in my Father. Yeah. Are we not Father's house? See? And look what he said about Joseph and Mary. And they understood not the saying which he spoke to them. There's two there, isn't there? First two realms, they don't understand what's being said. I mean, how many times does it have to be said that they don't understand before people understand that they can't understand? See? What did Job say? Job 33:14. In the first 2 days, they hear nothing at all. That's as obvious as it can get. Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9, he says, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall teach doctrine? Those that's weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Pretty obvious, isn't it? Same thing here. Oh my. Verse 51, and he went down, the word with is literally in the midst of them, and came to Nazareth to guard them. See, that is guarded, to guard them, but was subject to them. He was God, wasn't he? Even though he was 12 years old, he was still God, wasn't he? And he went down in the midst of them. Now, the word there is meta, in the midst of them, not with them. So he went in the midst of them. He was walking along the side of them, but where was he at? But he was inside of them. And he was there to guard them, but it said he also had to be in subjection to them. Boy, does that twist the carnal mind. Huh? He was walking alongside of them, but he was walking in them, and he was subject to them, and he was God. Boy, that'll blow your mind. But his mother kept all these sayings, right, in her heart. And Jesus, now that's the man, increased in wisdom, the wisdom of God, and in stature or maturity, and in favor. The word favor, literally the word favor is grace. It's charis. He grew in maturity and in grace. Now the word with here is a different word. It's not meta, it's the word para, and it means from. So Jesus increased in the wisdom of God and maturity and in grace from God and from man, from humanity. He had grace from both realms. Why? Because God was in control of every bit of it. It's just a little thing you read on Christmas. Right? Just a little thing you read on December 24th or 25th, whenever you have church right close to Christmas time. That's all this chapter's about. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what it's all about.